This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the September 13th edition of Invest Talk. Better than average investing for the average person. We try to answer your questions about investing, managing your money smarter. Trying to keep you in line, spending your money intelligently, and leveraging your savings. Also, we'd like to bring useful information to the forefront, if we can, information that can help you make better decisions. InvestTalk is here to broaden your perspective, calm your nerves, and help you develop a strategy that makes sense for you. As always, your questions are welcome during this 4 to 5 Pacific time hour, 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART, and we'll get to that in just a minute. This is the lazy person's investing approach, and it also works out pretty well because it's harder to make mistakes. But there is a downside. Buy and hold strategy could unbalance your portfolio. That's going to be our main talking point today. So there's a couple of drawbacks to buy and hold. All you need to do is know what they are and then adjust your thinking to that. And we're going to get to that. It's going to be our main talking point. Before we go any further, though, let's check our 24-hour listener line calls. It's open for your questions at any time, so whenever you want to ask them.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Brian. I've been listening to your program through podcasts for probably the last 3 or 4 months and really love it. Question for you, though, when it comes to you evaluating a stock or a fund or whatever you're evaluating, I'd like to know if you had to create a list of, say, 5 or 10 different aspects of that investment and you had to weight it from 1 to, say, 10, which would be the top positions and how would that follow? You'd look at, say, P.E. ratio number 1, debt number 2, and so on and so on. So really like to know what your thoughts on that are, and I'll be listening to the podcast to find out what they are. Thanks.
Well, the first thing I start with is earnings. They have to have earnings. Therefore, they have to have a P.E. ratio, price to earnings ratio. If there's no E, there's no ratio. There's just a price of the stock. So earnings is key. Earnings, earnings, earnings. I can't stress that more when you're looking at a company. And then you start looking at, well, what's the return on equity? What's the return on assets? What return are they getting on their value of the company? And I'd always like to see that in the teens, in the higher teens. Okay, but then you want profit margins, and you would like to see profit margins expanding, not shrinking. Margins. Now, there's different kinds of margins, gross margins, net margins. But, you know, I can't get too detailed when you get into this thing. And then after that, I'm just trying to touch base on the most important and most broad indicators that you need to start with. Price to sales ratio is important. I like certain at, you know, if you're, then you have to start looking at, well, what kind of stocks are we discussing? We're discussing growth stocks? Are we discussing value stocks? Are we discussing, you know, small caps, mid caps, large caps? And when you start getting into more details like that, you get into other matrix that might be more important than say, for instance, if it's a large cap, growth is not going to be very strong or if any at all. But then again, dividend is very important on a very large cap. You know, so you have to look at it differently. That's what makes it so interesting. It's not just look at these set of figures, these are the most important, and then just go with it. I also like to focus on debt, lack thereof. But some companies, that's how they make money, is with debt. So you can't just say that's across the board. Pretty interesting stuff. Good question, though. Appreciate it. Thank you. Living in this world of low interest rates forces our hand, everybody. It has backed investors into a corner. How do we eke out some regular income and at the same time keep our risk to a bare minimum? That's difficult. So what do we do? People look to the bond market to find, you know, some corporate issues that pay something a bit more substantial. But this has a lot of danger to it. you got to worry about junk bonds. They don't call them junk bonds anymore, but that's what they were known for years and years and years, and I still have the habit of calling them junk bonds. Now they call them high-yield bonds to make it sound nicer. But you got to be careful. Instead of bonds issued by a corporation, it may be more sensible to find sound companies paying relatively high dividends. Or maybe you like the preferred stocks, which is kind of a hybrid of dividends and bonds, mostly bond. You may not get the same level of income. You may not, but you will be able to participate in the upside of the stock price if you buy a high dividend paying stock. Most companies that can afford to pay dividends are large. They're usually sound, and they have good management and a good business model. Also, they wouldn't be big, and they wouldn't be able to pay dividends. So look for companies that have been able to raise their dividend over the past few years, every year, which shows a healthy business in tough times. You know, that's really what you want to do. One of the things besides a company going out of business is the dividend cuts. We saw that with Teva, right? See what happened to that stock. So the message is invest wisely in strong balance sheets, non-cyclical stocks. Utilities may be your safest dividend payer. You never know. If you want to talk more about that, about dividends, well, you can always call. Be happy to do that. Any question is welcome. As long as it's financial, our 24-hour listener line is 888-99-CHART.
Yes, this is Mark Tucson. I got a question about Synchrony Financial, SYF. I was looking at it because Warren Buffett and his crew purchased some last quarter, just trying to understand what they see in it. The PE is at around about 11, which is towards the lower end of the last few years. The earnings are going to be about 260, going to be about flat in 2017. But 2018 is projected to jump about 20%. The risk, I think, with this stock is they do have some subprime loans out. But wondered what's your take on this stock, and would you buy at this level? Thanks a lot for your info. Bye.
Okay, this is Synchrony Financial, SYF as in Frank. They are a $23 billion company, so a large cap. And most of the time, that's what Warren Buffett has to buy because of his size. It's a Warren Buffett kind of stock because they make money, have made money every year for years and years and years. Just continue to make money. It's not overpriced, as you pointed out. It's not cheap. The five-year range is 9 to 15 on the PE, and it's at 11 right now. But going forward, they're going to make $3.20 next year. It's a $29 stock. It's going to be under 10. So return on equity is 17%. Remember, I just mentioned I'd like the return on equity in the upper teens. And they do have debt. Remember, I said I don't like debt, but some companies have debt because that's how they make money. Well, this is one of them. It's a financial company. They have quite a bit of debt. They borrow cheap and lend out expensive. I noticed that the insiders were buying in this area of $30 a share. It's at $29.32. Sales growth is 10-11%, pretty decent. So I think it's a pretty good bet, and this is probably where you want to be. This year they repurchased $1.6 billion worth of their own common stock, took out of the float, which helps the earnings go up per share. Book value is selling to 1.6 times book, which is pretty reasonable in our modern day. So I can see why he would like it. And there's nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this financial company at all. Okay? Pays a 2% dividend. 2%. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. A sound investment strategy includes three components: asset allocation, buy and sell guidelines, and risk guidelines. And of course, a timeline, you know, how long is it going to be invested. Got questions about any of that? Let's hear them. 888-99-CHART is how to get through to InvestTalk right now. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Ray in Monrovia. How you doing, Ray?
Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
I have a question on SHPG. Company name is Shire.
Okay. What's your question?
What do you think about this company, and what is the entry point?
Okay, this is Shire PLC. It is on the NASDAQ in the medical ethical drug area. They are out of Ireland, everybody, which makes sense. Shire, you know, the Shire. Anyways, $48 billion company. It's big. It's not small. It's a big, solid company. They make money every year. They're going to make $16.29 a share next year, and it's $159 stock. So it tells you that's a below 10 PE, and the five-year range is 10 to 26. Return on equity is 17%. Another, you know, pretty good company. This would be the second one in a row that looks pretty decent to me. Sales growth is quite strong for such a big company. Sales growth is up 54% last quarter. Now, it's an Irish developer of therapeutics for behavioral health, and conditions, rare genetic diseases, and that's what they do. They don't pay much of a dividend. They're still growing. Debt is not too bad at 69%. I'm just disappointed that management doesn't own hardly any of the stock. I don't know why that's the case. The stock has pulled down, and I'm thinking that I would say that I would love to be back in again at a pullback to about 150, 152. It's 159 now. So if it pulls back to that amount, I might be a buyer. What you could do, because this is also kind of a buy point here, you could add your half of your position now, Ray, and then add the other half if you get a pullback. As long as it stays above 140, okay, you're fine. Okay?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Daniel in Palo Alto. How you doing, Daniel?
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you. Just had a quick question about Tiffany's, stock symbol TIF. Listen to you every day on 220.
Okay. Tiffany,
I bought a half position. Just wondered if I should stay in it or maybe
consider
adding to it.
Yeah, I think you should at least stay in it. Even though it's pricey, it's pretty expensive. This is Tiffany's, everybody. TIF, the symbol, operates 313 jewelry stores worldwide. They plan to increase gross retail square footage by about 3% this year. That doesn't mean you're going to add stores. It may add space to the existing stores, is what they're hinting at. Yield is 2.1%. This is why I'm a little concerned. Five-year PE range is 15 to 27, and it's trading out at 25. Now, next year it's going to be making $4.31 a share. That's up about 8 or 9%. And sales growth is, you know, really small, but it's growing, 3% or so. And we're going into the retail Christmas season coming up. So I wouldn't sell it here, but it's right at a pretty high price. I wouldn't add to it either because it's a little risky. I think I'd be content with what you got. Unless you get a pullback to about $88, and you know if it holds that, then you can buy the other half. But I don't know if it's right at its top right now. It kind of broke it a little bit, then came back today from that top. So it's right there. It hasn't broken out clearly yet. So it might pull back, and it wouldn't be unusual. If it does, I think it's going to pull back to that $88 range, and I could buy the other half. And there's also the philosophy, if it breaks above its highs of last year, which is right at it now, but it breaks above, and now it's on an upward trend, you can buy the other half then too. But I just think it's kind of pricey right now. It's kind of pricey. Appreciate the call. Thank you. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. This is all about your money. So get in touch with your questions or comments. 888-99-CHARGE, how you can reach me right now on InvestTalk. Let's talk to Joel in San Jose. How you doing, Joel?
Pretty good. How's it going? And really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've got kind of a confusing, this GPM. I looked at a profile, and I just can't seem to fathom it, you know. And I just sort of, they're paying a dividend like a little over 11% per year. I just want to know about the consistency of it and the price. Volatility just seemed kind of unbelievable to me.
Okay, let's take a look at it. It's Guggenheim Enhanced Equity. It's a closed-end fund investing in equities for current income gains and long-term capital appreciation. So it's aiming to make dividends. I mean, that's what it wants to do. But it's a closed-end fund. That means it's finite number of shares, and it could be selling at a premium or a discount. It's very small at $417 million, so it's not a big company.
Righto, but I just wondered about, over the last 5 years, and it kind of between like 8.5 or so. And
you're going to find that its dividend is pretty erratic. I have a feeling, Joel, that one way they're making their money is probably doing options trading. I'd have to look it up because...
Yeah, I think in part of the profile I saw that they used a secret kind of a program with call options.
Yeah.
You know, I just wondered if it's a little bit too risky or...
Yeah, that means... That means it can make really good money, really good income, and pay that high dividend, or next year it makes none. So, it's pretty high risk, Joe. It's not a steady dividend payer, as I see the history is not. But it can have some really great years and lean times. It's that kind of company. So, and you want to buy a closed-end fund at a discount if you can. And I checked that out. I have a feeling it's not a discount. It might be at a premium right now. So
you're right.
Yeah, you might be buying at a high. That's what I'm worried about. I know it's only $8.68 stock. I know that. But, you know, it ranges from 6 to 9. Okay, it's been in range for years and years and years. So you might want to buy it in the 6 range. So it won't be selling. It'll be selling at a more of a discount, but not a premium.
Okay.
Joe, appreciate the call. Thanks for the call.
I'll be looking for it.
Hey, thank you. Let's go to Michael in Tampa. How you doing, Michael? Want to talk about Costco?
I'm doing good.
How you doing?
Steve, how you doing?
Good. I like Costco a lot, by the way. I know that's what you're calling about.
Yeah. Steve, I entered Costco recently at 151, and I was kind of getting scared before this hurricane was coming. I thought maybe that would, you know, go down a little bit, so I sold it regretfully last week. I was wondering, like, Costco, let's say retail in general, as the smoke is clearing from this Amazon Whole Foods, is it time to enter some retail stock because it's oversold?
I've been buying retail, so, and I've gotten a little pain for it. I started buying it too early, I think. But
really?
I like retail at this point. I think everybody... Everybody's too worried about Amazon. We owned Whole Foods when they bought them, and so we made a nice little profit on Whole Foods. But we started buying retail just before that, you know. So, and of course we're now getting a pretty nice bump the last couple 3 days since the hurricanes are over. But
I noticed.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I like the valuations, of the retail stocks.
What would you say a good entry for Costco just right now, or should I wait a little bit? I don't want to buy it as it's climbing.
Well, I think if you're going to buy it, you're going to have to just bite the bullet and buy it. But it is but it is expensive, Michael. Don't think it's cheap. It is. But it's been expensive forever, and I think it might continue to be expensive. Just my opinion. Okay? It broke above.
All right, thanks a lot.
The reason why I say that, Mike, it broke above the 200-day moving average with some gusto today, and that's usually a bullish sign. So on a technical basis, this would be the place to buy it. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
I'm fine, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Steve, I have a question on ticker AAPL, Apple. Is it a good buy now, or should I wait for a few more days and then buy it? Thank you.
I like Apple a lot. I've owned it for umpteen bazillion years now, and I still think it's not overpriced, but it is at the high range of its PE. 10 to 19 is its PE range. It's at 18 right now, even though that's below the S&P, which is at, you know, like 19, 19 and a half PE, which is higher than normal. But, you know, they just made their announcements, and you notice that it's one of those buy the rumor, sell the news. It's not doing great after announcements, even though I think these new phones. I really think that $1,000 phone, Jay, I think it's going to attract a lot of buyers. I don't think you're going to blink an eye at $1,000 for that phone. And the reason being is it's a pretty big upgrade for them, and I just can't see it holding back people. Yeah, they don't want people that can't afford the phone. They only want the high, So I would buy it in this range and just hold on to it for a long time. So I think we're coming up on the Christmas season. It's going to have good news from that, I'm pretty sure. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks, Jay. Your investment strategy has to fit your goals, everybody. Make sure it does. Let's talk about it. You can reach me at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and real estate. KPP Financial now has a team headed by Justin Klein and Chevy Ackerson, who has been the number one agent out of nearly 1,000 at Evergreen Realty for the past 4 years in a row. Now you can think of KPP as a source of answers to your real estate questions. Upgrading your house before selling, staging your home for the best appeal, treating your home as a retirement asset, or not. All important questions for the homeowner. So if you have a question about real estate, don't hesitate to ask. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. You're listening to Invest Talk. We're glad you're here. Steve is ready to shed some light, broaden your perspective, demystify investing. The direct line, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Kevin in Poway. How you doing, Kevin?
Yeah. Hi, Steve. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Just to finish up, that last fellow called about Apple. You said you would hold on to it for a long time. So my question, which is not my question, how long is a long time?
Well, I bought it again. I think it was my second or third time. I bought it in 2009. Okay? I still own it. So I'm talking about years, not months. Years. You keep owning Apple until they show that they no longer are the leader, and I haven't seen that yet. I was worried when Steve Jobs left that that was going to happen, and the stock did languish for over a year. Well over a year, year and a half, languished, didn't move hardly at all. But they kept making more and more and more money. The price of stock, the PE kept going down, 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 because the price of stock never moved, but the earnings kept coming in. Now,
gotcha.
It is moving. So,
yes, it is. My question now, Steve, my real question, Equifax. I took a little look at some of the PE was attractive. I didn't do more homework on it. So I figured, let me give Steve a call and get Steve's reading on Equifax as a buy.
Well, you know the problems with them, right? You know that all that
data
breach.
Yeah, I think they would say it's the cost of doing business.
So they were up from about 140 all the way down to 98 in a matter of a week or so. So that's a big hit. And they're not done falling. That's my problem, Kevin. I don't think they're done falling. They don't have any evidence that they're done falling yet. And this is going to impact their earnings because they're going to lose business as a result of this. Now, the question we all have is how much? I don't think it's going to kill the company. I don't think it's going to even be that big of a problem in the long run. So this big fall is probably an opportunity, but I don't think it's done. I don't think all the news is out yet.
Do you think it's a respectable and a company? I don't know management.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't look at the ROI, the ROC.
Yeah, it's got return on equity of 27%. I mean, it pays a small dividend, 1.6. It's always grown its earnings 10%, 11% year after year after year. Oh, it's growing its sales 10% to 20% year after year after year. So it's got it's a $12 billion company after even losing all the market cap they've lost. So, this would be a good...
Is it a leader in its class?
Yes. Yeah, there's only two or three companies in this sphere, and they're one of the leaders. Kevin, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART. So buy and hold. Okay. There's nothing wrong with buy and hold. It's a very good strategy. And remember, hold means for years, not weeks or months, years. Buy and hold. Two drawbacks. There's two drawbacks, and that's all. And, you know, it's not, I don't want to say that it's a bad, these drawbacks are something that should prevent you to be a buy and holder. Not at all. One of the drawbacks is buy and holder is what is your timeline. Most companies, many companies don't last 30 years. Did you know that? How about GM? Filed bankruptcy in 2008. Every stockholder got wiped out. Okay, how about Motorola? You know where Motorola is today? It was around for years and decades. Not around anymore. How about Xerox? Just a fraction of its old self. There are so many companies out there that were big companies that are no longer around. How about all the camera companies that used to make cameras? All of them. They're gone. Pretty much gone anyways. So buy and hold, you doesn't mean you just ignore your stocks. You still have to keep an eye on them. Don't be buy and hold, I'm never going to look. If you're going to index, that's a whole different thing about buy and hold them. But if you're going to buy a bunch of stocks and just hold them, you still have to pay attention. The other problem is that you need to think about rebalancing, because you're going to have some huge winners and some huge losers in buy and holding. And you got to rebalance the portfolio. You got to pay attention to that. Those are only two basic problems with the buy and hold philosophy. So it's generally a pretty darn good philosophy. Don't think I'm bad mouthing it. I am not. Let's go to Brian in Philadelphia. How you doing, Brian?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Listen, couple of things. I was listening to the podcast a few minutes ago from the other day. I'm a financial advisor as well, and I'm also a Social Security certified advisor.
Okay.
The guy called up about Social Security. And his wife, if he passed away now,
yeah.
He was 57, she was 55.
Right.
You recall that?
Oh, yeah. And I was saying they took away they changed the rules. And I'm not a Social Security expert, so I just know that enough to probably get me in trouble.
Yeah, the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 took away file and suspend and put limitations on filing the restricted application. But the answer to, I had a couple things. So one, I wanted to just comment on that. The other, I wanted to ask you something. So on that, he had asked if he had passed away then at 57, would she be able to get her benefit and his benefit right away? And she wouldn't. She would have to wait to age 60 for her to file.
Okay.
Normally, it's 62, the starting age for filing for a reduced benefit, but under a survivor benefit, it's age 60.
Okay.
So just wanted whoever that guy was to let him know that.
Okay. Hopefully he's paying attention. Okay.
Hopefully. Yeah. And the other thing is I'm curious about, I think I heard you before mention the software you guys use to analyze holdings and whatnot. And mm-hmm. I'm curious about that. I'd like to be able to look into getting something like that.
Okay. Well, we use a lot of software, as you probably know. But one of the ones I use on the show that is pretty reasonable is called MarketSmith. MarketSmith, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it gives you a very quick picture of a stock, and it gives you a number of data points all on one page, which makes it very easy. We have other software. Do you want to know a list of software? I mean, that's a long list. We like Y charts. I don't know if you've looked at Y charts. That's also a very good. You think it's just about charts? It's not. It's all about fundamentals, but it's called Y charts. So we have.
Yeah.
You know, we use some Morningstar and S&P and IBIS. We use a number of data sources. So
okay.
It depends how much money you want to spend. Brian, you could spend a fortune.
No, I know that. And of course, I was curious about the one you used on the show the most, because you guys really snap out some information quickly.
That's Marcus Smith.
And so, Marcus Smith, that sounds like a pretty good one.
Marcus Smith
and
and Marcus Smith and White Charge are the two main ones we use on the show. Okay.
All right. Appreciate that so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Great show. Love it. Listen every day to the podcast. So
appreciate the call. Thank
keep
you.
It up.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, Justin and I really don't mind sharing things as much as we can. You know, we, of course, save some things for our clients. We don't say everything. But we try to be as straightforward and honest on the show. And sometimes you just can't. Sometimes you can't because the SEC tells you you can't. They have rules that you got to be careful. Let's go to Trode in Redwood City. I'm sorry if I pronounced that incorrectly. Trode? Trudy?
Yes,
it's Trudy. Trudy.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Yeah. Hi. So I was trying to reach you the other day, but I guess the connection is not good. So I had a question on, it's not a stock, but, you know, I'm looking at investing in companies like Lending Club.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? Lending Club?
Mm-hmm.
Which do peer-to-peer, investing. So what's your take on that? Like, what are the risks associated with it, and how do taxes work with those?
Lending Club, and specifically, is what you're asking for? Do you have the symbol for that company?
It's not a stock, as I said. It's not a stock at all. But it's like, I just want to know if it is safe to invest in companies like Lending Club and Prosper. The marketplaces wherein, you know, like, yeah, I'm sure you know. So I'm just asking if it's safe to invest in those companies.
Okay, well, Lending Club is a public company. It's LC is the symbol. And, you know, if you're talking about a company that, you know, companies that invest in, for instance, they provide online marketing where buyers and investors engage in transactions relating to various loan products. I do think that these kinds of companies are going to do just as well as other financial companies. They're going to be cyclical. You know, when you have a recession, they're going to go down. When you're growing, the economy's growing, they're going to do well. So in general, that's a general thing. Lending Club is going to make 4 cents this year and 22 cents this year. Just like any other, Trudy, it's like any other company, any other public company. You have to focus on earnings. What's their earnings? Are they going to make a lot of money? What is their profit margins? Just all those things, just like any other company. You don't look at any differently. And remember, it's a financial company, so they borrow money to lend it out at higher rates. So you're going to find a lot of debt. Lending Club has a lot of debt. But when your answer is, yeah, these are good area to be in, but you still have to look at the individual stocks to make sure you get a good one. Okay.
Okay. And do you know, Steve, how taxes are, how taxes work with these companies? Like,
sure.
If you
make money and you have capital gains, if you take capital gains profit within 12 months, you're taxed at your ordinary income tax rate. Past 12 months, just like everybody else, it's a capital gains tax of 20%. Okay, so
okay.
Any gains. Now, if you have capital losses, you can apply those to the capital gains and reduce your overall tax burden. But they treat it just like any other public company as far as taxing. I'm hoping that maybe we'll get a cut in a capital gains tax with the rules and regs they're trying to change in Washington, but who knows?
Right, but the question here is, you don't know whether you're making a gain because you keep getting monthly, like I guess you just keep getting the interest monthly. So say you invest like $1,000 and you keep getting like $200 every month. So I don't know if I'm making a profit here. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes. Well, when you say, are you talking about when you're buying the stock and it, because you won't get that kind of return?
No, actually, it's not a stock at all. Like, but saying you fund for a loan.
Okay. You're still,
you know?
Okay, yeah. So if you're talking about that, the same principle. If you invest $1,000 and you make $200, that $1,000 is what the input costs. Until you make over the $1,000, you haven't made any profit.
Okay.
So You know, so it's only after you make a profit, and then whether it's short-term or long-term profits, or if it's a business, you know, I'm not a tax guy, as you probably know, so you'll probably have to sit down with an accountant to figure out whatever venture you're going to get into, how profits are computed. You're going to have to figure that out. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Judy. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not... I got the sense it's not talking about a stock anymore. She's talking about actually using these types of companies to invest in the business model that they're doing, and you being a private equity investor. So I'm not sure where she's going with that. But this could be the perfect time for you to spend an hour reviewing your retirement accounts. I'll be in San Jose later this month. I'm running out of space. Face-to-face meetings. There are conversations, really. I learned about your life situation, your financial life situation, and I explained how we work, and it's just a conversation. And take a look at your portfolio and see what you're doing. We also can do this by telephone or Skype, either way. I will be in San Jose on the 27th of this month. If you'd like to reserve your own hour, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review.
When you sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you get the key to all kinds of useful information and lists that can make your investing life easier and more productive. An example is our library of webinars that you can access anytime. It's all free, never a charge for any of it. Sign up now on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hello, my name is Emmanuel. I'm from Dallas, Texas. I just started investing in stocks, and I was wondering your opinion on Bank of America. What I've read about them seems like they're undervalued, and they're working their way back up to being a good company again. So I just wanted to know your opinion on Bank of America. Thank you.
Okay. I would not say they're undervalued. I don't think they're overvalued either. I think they're fairly valued, about $25 a share. I think that's about what it's worth. Doesn't mean it won't go higher. Their earnings are going up by 20% this month and 20% this year and then 20% next year, so that's good. Sales are increasing, so it looks like they might, you know, be increasing their earnings and sales for the next year or two. They are stuck in a trading range. And that range is between 22 and about 25.50. And they're at 24.33. So until they break out of that, I probably wouldn't be a buyer. It's a good, solid company. You know, we're talking about a company that's $239 billion, so you can't beat that as far as safety. Return equity is low because it's so big, and a 2% yield. So take your chances here. I don't care for Bank of America myself. You're listening to Invest Talk, and if we got time to get an answer to your money questions before we're done for today, we'd love to hear what that question might be. So we're into the last segment. 888-99-CHART, how you reach me right now. Let's talk to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
Doing good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I mean, you do great service. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, so the comment I have is the lady who called about Lending Club.
Uh-huh.
And Prosper, I think, you know, what she was asking is you can actually lend money using Lending Club platform, and you get interest rate. So they basically match lenders and borrowers.
I see. With your money.
She was asking whether that's a good type of investment where she's lending money, and depending on credit scores and all, you know, the borrower will pay more or less interest rate.
Well, actually, I've done that myself, not through LendingTree, but through other private type things. And it is actually a good way to make money. But the problem you have there is you are putting your money at risk, you know, with them and with someone who is or is not creditworthy. The higher the return, the more risk it is. So I would not say it's a bad idea. It's just that you have to become more knowledgeable than just, I'll just give them my money and see what happens. I don't think that's a smart thing. You have to be careful the type of creditworthy people you are lending your money to.
Yes, yes. And the question I have is, you know, I looked into it, and I was told it's sometimes it could be it's a good diversifier because it might work in different cycles compared to stock market. So you're
right.
Kind of diversifying some.
Yep.
So I don't know what's your opinion on.
Yeah, it would be a good diversifier. Because it's not tied to the stock market. Your returns are tied to the creditworthiness of whoever you're lending your money to. And that's one thing that is good about it. You get a different basket of assets that is not tied to it, to the other baskets. And I do like that. I do. But again, you still have to be knowledgeable. But I do like the concept, Jay. I think it's a good idea. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's talk about margin debt for a minute. And I'm talking about margin being borrowed. When you open up an account, a trading account, you can borrow money on that trading account if you open up a margin account. And that's called margin debt when you borrow it. And you could then take that money and buy more stocks. Now, some experts think that the rise in margin debt is bullish. Some think that a high margin debt level is a red flag for a fall in market. Looking at a chart of both the market overlaid with the amount of margin debt increase and decrease over time, there does seem to be a parallel, a correlation between the peak of the stock market and a peak in margin debt. But it's not always true. Why am I even talking about it? Because both of them are pretty high marks right now. Margin debt, stock prices. So that doesn't mean we're in for a crash, but there's a lot of little red flags out there. But you know what? The market has a tendency to crawl up a wall of worry, and there's a lot of worry in the market because of its overpriced. The overpriced based on many different relationships, earnings, and price of sales, a lot of different relationships. It seems to be overpriced. But it's not extremely so. It's not at, and many of them are not at extremes as we've seen in the past. So I don't think you can look at the market and say, well, it's at the top. Well, it could be. I think it is. But you can't say that for a fact. You don't know that until you get to look back and say, yeah, see, that was the top over there. That's the difficulty of trying to time the market. You can't. You can't time it. You can look at different indicators, and they can give you a feel of where the market is. But no one, including myself, can pick a top or a bottom of the market. It's just not possible. So don't think that any expert or anything you read, they can predict what is true. Someone will get it right. Someone, always do, but they still can't do it consistently. Time's up for the hour, everybody. A reminder, no matter where you live in the U.S., you can avail yourself of a free retirement account analysis. It's really very easy to set up. I only do a few of these each month, and it's always on a first-come, first-served basis. To reserve your time now, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thanks for being with us today. And join us for Invest Talk again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.